How you doing, Mike?
I'm okay, bang. How about yourself?
Boy.
Yeah, I know. I already know how you feeling. If only y'all could just hear the story Bang just told me off air.
Some dude,
say a quick one. Say a quick prayer for my boy.
Oh, man. Some dude, 202. Make sure you rate, like, subscribe, download to the Barbershed Digital, excuse me, spitting home of Some Dude Pod, JR Bang, Mike B. I'm going to cool down a bit, right? Because what we've been talking a lot lately about mental health and how we feeling and stuff. I know today is a day for you. So I had told you off the air that I didn't plan on titling the show Mental Health Matters, but I wanted to talk about just this in general for a little bit, because what we haven't discussed is June is Men's Mental Health Awareness Month. And I've talked about my journey through therapy on the show. You talked about your journey in general these last couple of months. But I would not be a good friend and a good partner without not asking you about your mental health today. How you doing, Mike?
I'm okay, man. Better than expected. Today is my mother's birthday. God bless my mother's soul. She passed away about 4 months ago. And that's been one of the heaviest burdens. Matter of fact, it is the heaviest burden I've ever had to carry, ever. And, you know, I can't. And obviously, you know, it's ups and downs and everything when you lose a loved one. So this is one that has, you know, taken its toll on me. But I feel like overall, I feel like I've done an exceptional job with, you know what I'm saying, just carrying that burden and, you know what I'm saying, still moving on with life and, you know, continuing to just, you know, continue to just, you know, be there for my family who needs me the most and, you know, such a trying time. So, and then, you know, but in that, it brings on, like, you know, it brings on difficulties and, you know, brings on stress and brings on just, you know, it's everything, like any possible adjective in regards to just stress, mental health and everything like that. It has affected me and it would affect anybody, I would assume. So, but as far as me is concerned, as far as today, I talked to my mom today, you know, had a good conversation with her and everything like that. And just, you know, I'm good, you know, we celebrating her today. So, you know, like I said earlier in my post for her, any tears I cry today will be tears of joy because today is a celebration. And I just will continue to celebrate her as often and as much as I can, you know. So, but mentally though, I'm okay. We good, you know. And like you said, like this month being Men's Mental Health Awareness Month, I really am glad that men have a month like this, because it is always said that men don't talk about their problems enough. It's, you know, that's kind of like a narrative that's out there for men, that, you know, men don't, you know, communicate enough about the things that they have going on amongst themselves and everything like that. So it's good to have this, you know, and for people to be aware of things that, you know, men are going through, because men go through it.
Yeah.
And if you're a man and you are going through it, it's okay to, you know, talk to somebody, you know, whether it's a friend, whether it's a stranger, however you want to put it, you know what I'm saying? If it's like professional and everything like that, like that's what you need to do to get through whatever it is you get through, then you do that. You know what I'm saying? So just make yourself heard if you need to be heard, you know, when it comes to your mental health. That's where I'm at right now with it though.
Yeah.
How about yourself, Bang?
Well, first of all, the fact that your mental health is good today makes mine a bit better. All right.
That works.
Because I don't know how that feels to lose a parent. Just grandparents for me. But, mm-hmm. you know, as you see that dude over the shoulder mm-hmm. of me, that's why he's over the shoulder of me. Yeah. Because, you know, between him and my grandmother in 2015, you know, those are the toughest for me.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, my aunt, I have not seen my aunt, his daughter. Man, I ain't see her for like almost 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw her and my cousin. No, I saw her. This is the first time I saw her since she was a shorty. And now she grown, got a big job and all that. And she gave me my father gave my grandfather a pocket watch.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandfather had two switchblades that he always carried with him. So she gave me the switchblades, and she told me to give the watch back to my father.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, damn. Because I didn't get anything from his passing. I wasn't able to go to the funeral.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't able to do anything. And it was the first time she saw the kids, too, ever. So getting with them, you know, Liam, middle name is Harris. My grandfather's last name is Harris. So the whole plan was for me to tell him that we was giving Liam, his last name is Liam's middle name,
mm-hmm.
to connect us. That's the same thing we did with Miriam's father.
Mm-hmm.
Landon's middle name is Jameson because mm-hmm. his last name is Jameson. So the week I got sick and had to go to the hospital was the weekend I was supposed to tell him
that
was going to happen. Go to the hospital on Saturday, get out on Tuesday, get out on Tuesday, have my first walk on Wednesday just to get back in order.
Yeah.
And that's when I found out that he dies.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't able to tell him that. So her seeing Liam was a relief for me because that's her last name.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, that's our connection.
Absolutely.
And everything. But I ain't gonna front. Since that day, I've been off.
Mm-hmm.
I've been off. I ain't even gonna front. Because not only because I miss the old man, it's just a lot of stuff that I'm starting to see.
Yeah.
When it comes to my parents, when it comes to me, juggling family, the big job, a lot of stuff. And like these last couple of weeks been foggy. Mm-hmm. That's why when you sent that message, you text me like, yo, we good? Because I didn't reach out to you tell you that we wasn't going to pod.
Yeah.
I didn't reach out to you and tell you we was going to pod, but I was preparing for a meeting.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Big mm-hmm. meeting. Close the door. I was preparing for a big meeting. I had a big meeting in front of all of the programming team and the digital team. So a little bit nerves. I wanted to make sure that I was prepared and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So mentally, I was all over the place because I had two meetings to run, Tuesday and Thursday. And then the next week after that was going to Atlanta for meetings and stuff and trying to get stuff squared away. Then his birthday bash this weekend in Atlanta and Stone Soul and in Richmond and trying to make sure that the team's prepared and ready to go. And Monday, I was able to have a sigh of relief because we got great feedback from everybody about what we did.
Yeah.
But it just was a lot going on at one time. And because I was in and out of town, I haven't been able to see my therapist. So now I'm realizing I can't go a week without talking to her and everything. And that's why I want to start the show off with talking about that. Because even though I've been going to therapy weekly since October,
mm-hmm.
today is when I realized how much I need my therapist. Today is when I realized that therapist is just as important as my primary care doctor.
Mm-hmm.
I need her.
Yeah.
I need that outlet. I need somebody to talk to. And because just the traveling and stuff, I haven't had that. And I've noticed that since that has happened.
Mm-hmm.
So I realized without having to go to therapy how much I truly need it, because it's just been a lot. Now, the funny thing about it is my therapist was like, yo, maybe we need to have a conversation around drugs,
mm-hmm.
anxiety and depression pills. No, I don't want that shit. I don't want antidepressants. And I've mm-hmm. already take enough pills.
Yeah.
Already take enough pills. I don't want to do that. But I have gummies. I've been purchasing more gummies.
Whatever works for you, babe.
Whatever works for me, fam.
If that, the gummies work for you, babe, I want you to continue to do that.
Boy, let me tell you this, and we've talked about this on the show. The gummies work. Don't get me wrong. I have my stash. This is great. I bought a new batch, and I had the best sleep that I had in quite some time on Sunday on a nap. But I now am entertaining shrooms.
Bang. Look, we're going to have a conversation off the air. I think I said on the pod that I want to indulge at least once in my life. I need to see what's up with that. That's actually a wild confession, dang. That's a wild confession to say on the air, bro. I've learned you.
Yeah, I've learned that there's some that you take that's very helpful.
Okay.
When it comes to mental health matters.
Educate us, babe.
And I'm still doing enough. I'm still doing more, but those tend to help. I don't want to smoke. I think I'm done with smoking weed.
Okay.
But the chewables. You know what I'm saying? I pop them bitches like a Flintstone kid. You know what I'm saying? 10 million strong and growing. But yeah. I was thinking yesterday, and I was like, man, I just been looking this up, and I know there's been a number of doctors who have said that this has been helpful for mental health.
Yeah.
I might have to try it out just to see.
That's good, man. Because
I don't want to take pills. I don't want to take no antidepressants and all that shit. I already know.
And that's good to know, too. My mom, she took antidepressants, and you know, it didn't work out. It didn't work well out for her. So, you know, so I wouldn't suggest that. I mean, but like I said, if that works for you, that works for you. And I'm glad that we're able to be on this platform and you give out that educational information right there about other ways to deal with mental health.
Yeah, like I'm telling you, look.
There's other ways to do it besides popping pills or anything like that.
I ain't seen Rhonda in about a month. I miss her. Rhonda is the third most important woman in my life right now. Miriam, my mom, and her. Like, hey, you know, when I make this appointment, I'm like, yo, you miss me? Like, I need my therapist.
That's good.
For work, for family, for all this stuff, to get that off for an hour? No. And her to piece this shit all together. And the fact that she pieced a number of things about my past that I ain't realized, relationships with women and how, you know, my relationship with my mom probably, you know, hindered a lot of that stuff, and you know, things that happen as a family that has affected me personally and stuff that she noticed when we talked, the change from this moment to this moment. Damn near everybody in the hood dealing with PTSD.
Yeah.
When it comes to a lot of things, like, man, I realized how screwed up mentally I have been for quite some time. It has affected my confidence. It has affected my relationships, friends, family, the women that I've been involved in. It has affected the way that I, like, my confidence, the way I see myself sometimes. It affects the way that I've communicated to people sometimes. Nah, fam, the best number of months that I had was going every Thursday to go holler at her. And I haven't been able to do that because of travel. I need that back.
Let me ask you a question. Like, so prior to you seeing a therapist, have you ever, like, okay, so you noticed, I don't know if you know, obviously you probably do notice, but if anybody notices that our favorite TV shows and everything like that, in certain, like, certain storylines of characters involve these people seeing therapists, seeing, like, some, seeing, going to see somebody based off how that storyline plays out in the show or a movie or something like that, there, that involves seeing a therapist. Have you ever, like, watched a TV show and, you know what I'm saying, thought about, like, man, this shit is crazy. Like, why are they going to see Sopranos. Somebody to talk to? That's Sopranos. A good example, because Tony Soprano went and saw fucking
why the therapist. Fuck is a mob boss going to see a therapist?
That is absolutely crazy, but he really needed that shit.
This is insane. I used to watch this, like, when I started watching The Sopranos, when I finally started watching it,
yeah.
I was like, yo, why the fuck is buddy ass going to a therapist? Mm-hmm. He's a mob boss. He telling all of the secrets and all of this shit. Why are we doing this?
Yeah.
Then I started going to therapy, and I was like, Tony Soprano is right. And he's a mob boss. He's stressed.
Yeah.
He can't talk to his wife about this shit. Yeah. He ain't go talk to the kids. He can't go talk to Paulie Walnuts. You know who he could talk to? Therapist. It just so happened she was fine. Now, I ain't looking at my therapist like Tony was looking at his. But I understand why I understand why Tony Soprano was going to that bitch faithfully.
Mm-hmm.
Just, yo, I'm therapy time. Let me tell you about this shit. Let me finesse these words so I don't incriminate myself. But yeah, and being where I'm at in the food chain of where I work, there's a lot of pressures when it comes to work. There's a lot of pressures with dealing with people and making sure that you're dealing with people right. And then it's the family, like making sure that I have time for my family, for my wife, for my son, making sure that I have time to kick it with the homies and all of this stuff. But and doing this podcast, like I do this. First Black Champ, I ain't gonna hold you. Summer sessions, I do this in summer sessions on the same day.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like some dude and then probably roll in the summer sessions, then I go to sleep. But then I got my wife like, yeah, you're doing these two pods and then you take your ass to sleep and all that. Like, oh shit. But I just deal with work and I'm tired and had to deal with all you heard me snapping about that shit before we got to recording. So it's like, yo, man, when I go. With everything that I deal with on a daily basis, marriage, kids, family, work, extracurriculars.
Yeah.
At this time, I'm stretched. I won't say that I'm stretched thin, but I'm stretched in a way where there's a lot of stuff that's going on. So I don't have time to decompress.
Yeah.
But then when you deal with some of the issues that I have dealt with and things start coming to a head, it's either I know I was this close to a mental breakdown. I know I was this close. If you saw matter of fact, go back and look at some of the episodes in October and look at my face then, look at my face now. I am clearer. I look stressed in October, but I was like, I got to do the pod. I got to do something. I know that has been more beneficial to me than I know because I've learned more about myself and the things that I've done and not done because of certain things to where I wish that I would have done this sooner. And Miriam tried to get me to do that years ago in D.C., I was like, I ain't doing that shit. It's the best. And I hate to say it, but some of the shit that I dealt with family-wise, I'm glad that it happened. Because if it did not happen, I wouldn't have entertained therapy at all.
Mm-hmm.
But it forced me to put myself in a position to be vulnerable. And I've never wanted to find myself vulnerable in any capacity. And now finding myself vulnerable, I am able to open up about things that I didn't even know that I was dealing with. I'm able to talk about certain things that has happened where it's like, I didn't realize that affected me in this way.
Mm-hmm.
So I look at other people who may have had things that's way more difficult than me. I'm like, yo, shit, I understand why your ass going to therapy. And for mental health, Men's Mental Health Awareness Month, with what you've dealt with and what I've dealt with, I just thought it was important to just have a little bit more of a conversation just around this.
Absolutely.
Because it's a lot.
Mm-hmm. I feel like Jobs, they need to take a page out of the show Billions. How Wendy Rose was the, like, she was like a, what in Billions? You seen Billions, right? You
watched
Billions, right? So Maggie Simpson played too. She played Wendy Rhodes. And
Maggie's fine.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've been in therapy every goddamn day.
They have a, like, she work. They work for a hedge fund, obviously. Yeah. But you feel like in certain jobs, in certain, I feel like you do radio. You do radio. You work for, you know, a big radio company. Like, certain jobs should offer therapists. You know what I'm saying? Somebody to talk to, like hands-on, like somebody like at the job that you could talk to, you know what I'm saying? Whenever you got something going on that's stressing you out, especially if it got something to do with work. If it's work specifically, something stressing you out about work, and you don't want to, you know what I'm saying, send out a nasty email or curse up an employee out, you go talk to a therapist. Those guys, they need to offer that. Jobs need to have, they need to hire therapists and people to talk to for like on site at jobs.
Yes.
They should have more of that.
That, you know what? Yeah.
More jobs. Not every job, obviously, but certain jobs. Just depending on the work capacity, like the environment you work in. You know, you should have somebody you could call.
No. Talk to. You right. There should be a therapist on standby.
Absolutely.
That can help you out. Because you are damn right. Yo, they get the struggling. Stressful. Yeah, they get the struggling shit. They go holler at Maggie.
Mm-hmm.
Maggie be like, all right, tell me about your issues.
Yep.
And you leave out of there feeling good. You're
on to something right there, baby.
You, they, man, because
more jobs need to offer that.
I'll be in Maggie's office every goddamn day. I will be in Maggie's office every goddamn day, twice on Sunday. Cross your legs in that pencil skirt.
Stupid. See, look at Maggie. See?
I liked us in Sons of Anarchy, fam. I was mad when she got killed.
Man, bro, that was one of the hardest deaths on Sons, but you know.
Yeah, but then she went to Billions and became a therapist.
Yeah.
With pencil skirts on and high heels.
Yep.
Boy, I would love to have been Paul Giamatti. Now, I ain't into what he was into.
Look, little freaky. Look, let's say she was a professional therapist during the day.
Yeah,
freaky ass woman at night.
Yeah, freak man. I ain't into that. But if that's what the marriage is gonna be, hey, Maggie.
Yeah,
love you. All right, man. Mental health conversation. Only thing that I'll say after that, man, is fellas, mental health matters. It matters a lot, man. Check on your peoples. Mm-hmm. Check on your strong friend. Check on yourself. If you ain't heard it from anybody, you've heard it from me and Mike B. Check on yourself and make sure that you are right for your family, for your friends, for your significant other, for your kids, for the people that support you. Check on yourself. It's very important.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
With that being said, hey, we gotta check on Drake's mental health. So we didn't get a chance to. Yeah. We haven't had a chance to discuss this.
Yeah.
But Kendrick Lamar had his Ken and Friends concert. And I'll just say for me, it was one of the biggest moments in my life revolving around hip hop. Not hot taking or anything like that. I've had a chance to digest and think about it. And I can't think of a positive hip hop moment better than what I saw. And it goes from beginning to end.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like to see DJ Head and all of those people that I don't know who they are come on stage. Like I was texting Scott because Scott spent 10 years in L.A. So I was like, yo, who are these people? when the Cuzzos came up there, I was like, yo, who is these bench players from the L.A. Sparks, G? And he was like, yo, this is Compton's TLC. I was like, you're going to have to make me a playlist. Because I don't know none of these people. Now, yeah, when we got the...
Will you get that share with me so I can see what's
up?
Yeah,
yeah. Absolutely. Now, when we got the mustard, I was like, all right.
All right, here we go.
Here we go.
Dom, Tyler, NYG. All right, we know what's going on. Let's go. Now.
I bet. You know what I'm saying? I played Free TC for a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we get to Kendrick. And Kendrick started off that bitch with Euphoria.
Soon as he, like, I text Bang and I said, because I said on the pod, I said, somehow, some way, he needs to perform. We already know he's performing Not Like Us. We know that. But I said it. I said, he needs to perform Euphoria. I need to see this happen in 3D. And he started off with, I text Bang immediately and said, yeah. Dude, I was so pumped watching that shit, fam, that my wife, she came home. But she, like, she was bringing groceries home and shit like that. So, so she texts me like, I'm outside. I'm like,
now you won't be outside.
Yeah, man, that was a monumental moment, man. Not only for the West Coast, but just for hip hop in general, man. It was dope to see, man. And, you know, shout out to Kendrick. And I just hopefully this leads up to an album.
It's coming next month. I'm sure it's coming next month.
That's pretty much what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting on the Kendrick album, and I'm hoping that this is one of those albums that doesn't necessarily sound like what he's done in the prior past. You know what I'm saying? I want this to be more just like him getting his fucking bars off, G, and you know what I'm saying? Like, laying that stamp down, solidifying that he is officially the boogeyman, and all rappers need to be afraid. That's how I hope this album sounds like. But just seeing him up there perform, he performed Euphoria, and he performed it not flawlessly, because he messed up some of the words, but he stayed on cue with it. Breath control was great. Man was up there rapping all of these lyrics, no background vocals. It was like a stellar performance overall, fam. He brought out Black Ippy, brought out Dr. Dre, you know what I'm saying? And at the end, just did a Watch the Throne type, you know what I'm saying, Niggas in Paris 8 times in a row, you know what I'm saying, and just did it with Not Like Us 5-6 times in a row, bro. It was incredible to see, fam. It was incredible to see the vibes, the West Coast vibes in that arena, him bringing up, you know, all the LA, California, West Coast artists all on stage at one time to unite. And it was beautiful, bro. It was a lot of gang banging going on up in there, but it was I'm all about peaceful gang banging, all right? And that's exactly what Kendrick orchestrated. He orchestrated peaceful gang banging, okay? It's like gang banging ain't necessarily got to be bad. Yeah. They was gang banging, bro, and it was peaceful.
That you know what? You know what, Mike? You're right. Kendrick Lamar and Ken and Friends really showed the good side of gangbanging. The camaraderie. Absolutely, the love, bro, for your brother.
Absolutely.
Making sure it's protected and all that stuff. It didn't show all of the bad stuff you see on TV. You didn't see all, like, Jay Worthy and the Whoops came out. And anytime I hear, let me just say this, anytime I hear West Coast music like Jay Worthy and the Whoops, I think somebody's going to die. It's because of Boys in the Hood. Anytime I hear that, like, somebody's about to die. Yeah. Let me go in the house, because somebody's about to get shot. But when they came up there, it was like, oh, okay, that thing's smooth. They came up and they read and they left. Mm-hmm. It really showed that, yeah, it's a positive side to gangbanging.
Mm-hmm. And that was good to see, man. And I'm glad Kendrick Lamar was the one to orchestrate it, fam. It was perfect. It was beautiful.
It takes the neutron that ain't really a neutron to come in and say, hey, let's do this for the people.
Yeah.
And then all of the main heads is like, hey, we doing this for Kendrick, y'all. Mm-hmm. Now, once we leave.
I would hope that once everybody leaves, you know what I'm saying, everybody continue to be peaceful. But, you know, Kendrick Lamar can't control what y'all do outside of here. But at the end of the day, fam, he's just putting them good vibes in the atmosphere. And hopefully that carries on, you know, for years and years, you know what I'm saying, down the line. Not just not in this moment. We want that to carry on.
Kendrick Lamar can't control anything once y'all get the Rosecrans. But while we at the Forum, look, man, this is truce.
Yep, absolutely.
This is Switzerland. We're in Switzerland right now. We're going to perform. I was so glad that he performed 6:16.
Oh yeah, bro. He was Not only
that proves the sample clear, fam. That proves the sample has been cleared. He couldn't perform that if the sample wasn't clear.
I honestly feel like all three of those songs are going to be on the album. Like, whatever album he drops, all three of those songs are going to be on the album. But not only was Kendrick Lamar just, like, orchestrating a West Coast front, you know what I'm saying, some unity, everything like that, he was stomping on Drake's head at the same time. Like, he was uniting the West Coast and also whooping Drake's ass at the same time, G. Like, you can't paint this shit no better than what Kendrick Lamar is doing right now, G.
No better, G.
Like,
now,
it's crazy.
Less away from the Kendrick piece, right? Especially going into some of the people that we didn't know. Who were you most excited when you saw it? Like, who made you most excited when you saw them on that stage?
Performing?
There was a lot of people, yeah.
It was dope to see YG perform and then he was up there with Mustard, because if you know, like, we know that YG's first album, well, his first major album, My Crazy Life, pretty much primarily produced by Mustard. It's a fucking classic. Not only a West Coast classic, it's a hip-hop classic album. So to see him get up there and just perform, you know, he kicked it off with BTP. It was dope to see that shit, bro, up there. It was dope to see who else. So look, the first person to come out was Rimble. I fucks with Rimble.
I was 10 years old.
He got that one record with Yachty Joe that's a slap, fam. Like, so I was dope to see him up there doing his thing too. So even though, like, obviously it was so many of them and they can only do like one or two songs. So
yeah.
But it was dope to see him up there. But mainly it was Tyler was dope. Tyler was dope to see. And when Dr. Dre came out, that was pretty much the nail in the coffin right there. It was dope to see Black EP come out too, though. I loved when J-Rock came out. J-Rock did Win. That shit go up, bro. Win goes up. That is not only just like, that's a stadium record right there, fam. That shit can go up for any and every type of event, bro. Like, that is an anthem, fam. So it was dope to see J-Rock get up there, perform Money Trees, and dope for him to get up there and perform Win. It was dope to see Schoolboy come out, man. He did that part, did Collard Greens. That shit was dope. And Dre coming out, you know. I was kind of expecting, I kind of knew Dre and Snoop was coming out, but not seeing Snoop up there. I think Snoop's on tour, I think.
Yeah, he was in Canada.
Yeah. So, you know what I'm saying? ironically, he was in Canada. But yeah, it was dope, man. Just this, those are the most exciting moments besides Kendrick for me, you know.
I was excited to see Tyler, because I didn't expect to see Tyler there.
Yeah, I wouldn't have expected Tyler the Creator to come out.
I did not expect
Tyler. Even though we know he's West Coast, but you don't really, like, a lot of people don't like recognize him as a West Coast artist, but like them early I Future days, all of them mods, some I Future mods, they all from LA, G. All from LA.
Right.
So but he's not recognized as a West Coast artist.
Yeah, even though he is.
Come out there. Yeah, absolutely.
Even though he is. But yes, that was the person that I was surprised to see, mm-hmm. and was excited to see. Mm-hmm. Like, I popped like it was a wrestling match, G. Like, I popped like, oh shit. Like, yeah. You would have thought like the Undertaker came out there to choke slam the Rock. That's how I popped for Tyler. Pause. But even though I said that they scared me when they came out, Jay Worthy and the Whoops. Because even though music like that makes me feel like somebody is about to get shot, that's what I think of when I hear West Coast music.
Mm-hmm.
I need to hear that weird ass pitch. Mm-hmm. I need to hear that in my music. That makes me feel like I like Dom Kennedy, I like Tyler, I like Ty Dolla $ign, I like Mustard mm-hmm. and his music. But I need one of my West Coast songs.
Mm-hmm.
I need to be scared. I need that shit to sound like that was Boys in the Hood in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
After the African booty scratcher content comment.
Yep.
I need that shit, the helicopters and So I was like, oh, somebody about to get fucked up. But
yeah,
yo, this shit right here, my nigga. That's exactly how it was when Jay Worthy and the Whoops had came on. Now, they filmed the Not Like Us video.
Mm-hmm.
So we know we're getting that video. And it so with the video and all of that, you know, the word on the street is, yes, next month, July,
okay,
we're getting a Kendrick album and stuff. But also, Not Like Us is can be considered for a Grammy.
That's what I and everybody's asking, like, you know what I'm saying, how long does Drake, like, stay in hiding or whatever? Like, you know, like, can, is it safe for Drake to come out, you know? And I honestly feel like, in my opinion, he'll probably drop something in between time, but it don't really make no sense, G, because Kendrick is going to clean up at the Grammys. When Not Like Us wins at the Grammys, bro, or just being nominated for, like, Record of the Year, Song of the Year.
That's it. Pause. Stop. Don't say nothing else. Don't say nothing else.
Okay.
Mike. I'm going to say it right here on the show.
All right.
I have a feeling
that
Not Like Us is going to win Record of the Year
that
at the 2025 good. Grammys.
You got to understand,
I don't see how it does not win. I don't give a damn what song that Taylor Swift drops. I don't give a damn about what song a rocker drops. I don't give a damn about what white rocker or white weirdo singer like Bob Dylan or no shit. I don't give a damn what who drops what. Tell me a song that is the favorite over Not Like Us to win the top song prize at the Grammys right now.
There is not one. There is none.
I am telling. Look, we are halfway. We will be officially halfway through 2024 on Monday. You cannot tell me that there's a song that is the favorite over Not Like Us to win the Grammy for Record and Song of the Year.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's like the beef is going, like, the Kendrick of whooping Drake's ass is just going to continue on and on and on up until the Grammys when he wins. For Not Like Us, it's gonna be like, what the fuck, fam? Like, when does the ass whooping actually end?
When does it stop?
When does it end, bro? Like, when? Like,
it's not gonna end. I'm telling you. I said this to Scott on I Ain't Gonna Hold You. I'll say it here. The battle's not over. I'm not saying it's going to be multiple diss songs come out and stuff like that. Here's what I mean where the battle is not over. Kendrick got to drop the album. If the album is not up to snuff, Drake slide back up in that joint.
Okay.
It's high expectations now for that album.
It is.
If you thought it was high expectations for any time Kendrick comes out, what he just did, there's high expectations. That, and I'm a Kendrick fan. I'm not a damn fan, but I'm a Kendrick fan. If that album is not up to par, it is not up to the expectations of the people, Drake could drop some shit the day after. Just a song. Make you dance.
The window open for Drake.
Window open. It ain't over. The window's open. Kendrick has to drop a classic album. There's precedent to this too, Mike. There's precedent. You want to know what the precedent is? Blueprint, Stillmatic.
Yeah.
Jay-Z did this at Summer Jam. Hot 97 Summer Jam.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't give us the whole Nas verse. He just said, ask Nas, you don't want it. Well, Hov, whoa. Mm-hmm. So everybody was expecting that. But that song, that original verse of Summer Jam, all about Prodigy, Summer Jam screen,
mm-hmm.
boom. Precedent, he drops Blueprint. The first song on Blueprint is Takeover. We hear the Nas verses. We like, oh, shit. He just killed Nas ass. Then also, Blueprint is a great album. Mm-hmm. Also, Blueprint comes out on September 11th.
Mm-hmm.
So it was already shit. We're like, hey man, how we gonna go get this album in New York, man? There's a lot of shit going on. Mm-hmm. All right. So that being said, all right, Nas is sitting back. He like, all right, cool. That's what it's gonna be. Now he dissing me. I bet. So I'm gonna go ahead and write this song. I'm pissed. I'm going ahead and write this song. And then when I write this song, I'm gonna kill Jay-Z. All right. So Ether comes out. Ether comes out. I want to say it came out in the winter.
Yeah, because he didn't drop Ether immediately.
No, he didn't. It wasn't the days that you dropped that immediately.
It wasn't like, yeah. And when did Stillmatic come out? Stillmatic dropped when? When did Stillmatic come out?
Stillmatic came out in December.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, Ether came out in December. If I got my dates correctly, Stillmatic came out in mid-December because it was before Christmas. Mm-hmm. It was definitely before Christmas. Now, remember, Stillmatic is after Nostradamus, which wasn't the best Nas album.
Mm-hmm.
So people was like, I think, you know, Nas might be a rap and Jay-Z just put the nail in the coffin. Well,
yeah.
Ether comes out, and then a couple of weeks later, Stillmatic comes out. And what do people say about Stillmatic? It's a classic.
Ether did drop on December 4th, Hov's birthday. Absolutely. Ah, you are absolutely correct.
See, there you go.
And Stillmatic, the album dropped on December 18th.
There you go. So he dropped the shit on Jay-Z's birthday, and then he dropped Stillmatic a couple of weeks later, and people say that Stillmatic is a classic. This song, classic album. This song, classic album. Jay-Z drops Takeover, drops Blueprint right after that. Nas dropped Ether, and then he drops Stillmatic off after that. Both are considered classic albums.
Kendrick has a chance to be in some elite company of rappers who put classic diss records on a classic album.
But if the album is Huff, we're about to get a song with some Instagram captions.
I can't see. I can't.
Drake.
Bro, the expectations are so high, fam, for this.
That's why I don't think it's over.
The expectations for this album is so high for me personally, Joe, because like I said, out of the whole beef, I feel like Euphoria is the best record, bro. And I feel like Euphoria is not just a great diss song, it's a great record just in general, bro, because the nigga Kendrick was just, he just elevated all that shit, bro, lyrically. Like, that's some top-notch rapping on there, bro. Like, that's what I expect Euphoria all through that album, G. Mm-hmm. I don't expect Not Like Us. I expect Euphoria-type rapping.
You goddamn right. But if he get on this motherfucker, if he get on this motherfucker with the Kendrick verses...
Don't do it.
You knew anyone to conflict it?
Please don't do it.
No, he gotta
bar up, Kendrick. Bar
up. He gotta bar up. If he does not bar up and that shit come off, Drake gonna slide in that bitch. Y'all miss me, don't y'all?
I believe it.
Y'all miss me, don't y'all? We still here.
Yeah.
We still here. We're still standing. We're still strong.
Yeah.
That's how he gonna pop up. He gonna pop up. Like Antoine Fisher at his whatever that woman lady, the one who called him in, that's how he gonna pop up. If Kendrick Lamar album is Huff, he gonna pop up like Antoine Fisher. Yeah. Look at me. I'm still here. I'm still standing. I'm still strong.
Yeah.
And it's nothing like all that shit, like mm-hmm. Derek Luke was getting his Denzel Washington on. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what the fuck gonna happen if Kendrick Lamar come half-assed when his album come out. Yeah. Or he could be like Nas and Jay-Z, drop classic albums after classic disses.
Don't fuck this up, Kendrick.
Don't you fuck this up, Kendrick. Don't you do it. All right, man, the NBA draft is tomorrow, and I ain't gonna lie to
is
you.
Is it tomorrow?
Yeah, I don't give a fuck. Mike, this is the first draft I can say I don't give a fuck. And here's my rant against NBA TV.
Who going number one?
I don't know. One, probably a French nigga.
Mm-hmm. The biggest name in this draft is not even getting drafted in the first round. That's how you know this draft is up.
He's getting drafted the second day.
That shit is crazy.
He's getting drafted. And NBA ain't slick. Goddamn NBA ain't slick.
Now, Bang, what do you think the chances are that Bronny does get drafted in the first round?
Ain't no chance.
No chance in hell?
No fucking chance in hell.
Shout out to Vince McMahon.
Ain't no chance, Mike. You know why it ain't no chance? Nah. There's no reason. We already know why it ain't no chance. All right,
cool. Okay.
What I will say is this. The NBA ain't slick. NBA ain't slick. It's like, yeah, we on 2 days. We gonna air 2 days.
Yeah.
So we gotta have the first round on Wednesday and the second round on Thursday.
They normally do that?
No, this is the first time ever.
Oh, they want Bronny.
Not trying to draft. They're not trying to give Bronny the Nikola Jokic treatment.
Damn.
That motherfucker got drafted during the damn Subway commercial. Motherfuckers had the little scroll pop up. It was like, Denver draft.
I didn't even notice that. I didn't even pay attention that they Jokic was going 2 days.
Wherever he from. Like, okay. Yeah, they don't want to do that.
Oh, yeah, they ain't slick.
They don't fuck that up. They ain't slick. Yeah, now we're going to be watching on Thursday, like, who going to draft this nigga?
That's all we looking for is who drafting Bronny.
All Brian? We looking for. They Terrence Shannon, Illinois. Oh, I don't give a fuck. Like, shit.
Where Bronny at?
Oliver Johnson, guard. Kennesaw State. Oh, what the fuck? When Bronny going to get drafted? Yeah. With the 55th pick in the NBA draft, the Los Angeles Lakers select LeBron James Jr., guard, USC. Oh, shit. Turn off. I don't need to see no more. That's what's going to happen on Thursday.
Yeah.
And then probably on Wednesday, too. Like, who the fuck? Fam, I don't know. Is it because we old? But I don't know none of these niggas.
No, it's not because we're old.
It's the first draft that I've ever watched, that I've like, ever watched.
There's really, not, like, we didn't see more elite level talent, bro.
You weren't watching G League games.
That's all. Like it just wasn't, you know, a great amount of elite talent. You know, in the tournament, we didn't see much. You know, this past season in the NCAA. So, hopefully that changes this year. So I don't think it has nothing to do.
I think it do. I think we at the age. I think we are at the age where. We the old niggas in the club.
Yeah, but what about like
when... the old niggas in sports.
But what about like when Carmelo's son, you know what I'm saying, he get up
we
there.
Know them because they daddies.
Well, they cold, though. They cold.
And that don't mean they going to be in the draft.
That's true.
Like, I don't know who Zachary Richer.
Yeah, I guess you are right, Bang.
I don't know who Alex Sarr is. I don't know who Reed Shepard is. Reed Shepard sounds like a lawyer. I don't know who Stephon Castle is. And he won at UConn.
You're right.
Matis Bouzelis.
Yeah,
I think he's from Chicago.
Okay.
But he played for G League Elite. I don't know who Dalton Neck is. Yeah. Donovan Klingon. He was at UConn. I think I remember him. Rob Dillingham. I think that was the dude that had the weird ass shot that went viral and shit. Cody Williams, that's somebody brother on Oklahoma City.
Who the Bulls projected to draft?
The Bulls are projected by ESPN on their mock draft. They said
what number do they? What number are
11,
we picking?
11. Okay. Because the Reinsdorf family, they was like, yo, we're gonna make the playoffs. So let's not trade Alex Caruso. And they could have got 2 number one picks for Alex Caruso, apparently, or some shit like that. But then they trade him for Josh Kelly. Josh Giddey, you know, but the Bulls is projected to draft Devin Carter, point guard, shooting guard.
You know, I just noticed that you buffed that on purpose. I literally thought you was calling him Josh Kelly. You stupid. I didn't know you was calling him that. I just caught that. Like, wait, you buffed his name?
Freak man.
Josh
Freak
Kelly. Man. Okay, man. Proceed.
But he was cleared for any wrongdoing, y'all.
Yeah.
Any wrongdoing. But they got a point guard and Josh Giddey. It looks like Lonzo Ball might not be coming back. I don't know or whatever.
Bro, that's crazy.
But they got Josh Giddey out here, and it's projected. But here's they said that the Bulls are one of the teams that they feel like will make a play to get close, get up in the draft. And they said that the Houston Rockets have been having trade conversations with a number of teams. I wouldn't be shocked or surprised that there's some type of trade that's pulled off that sends Zach LaVine to Houston with something for the number three pick. And I know that I've been hearing that the Bulls are in love with Matis Buzelis. I think that's his name. So they already feel like they got a lottery pick. And Josh Giddey, because he was a lottery pick, you know, and he's still only 21 years old. Mm-hmm. So if you could come out the draft with Josh Giddey and Buzelis, or however you pronounce his name, then the Bulls feel like they come out and they start all over. They start over and they have two young pieces that they could build around. And then you figure out what you want to do with DeMar DeRozan, which I feel like that's a sign and trade candidate right there too. So I don't think he would be drafted by the, you know, traded by the draft, but I think he's a candidate to get all of his money to get a sign and trade to go somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I don't know none of these niggas.
Yeah. It's okay. Yeah, we them old.
Who is
dudes.
These? Who?
We them old guys, man. It's
cause
okay.
I Mike, here's why I know we the old dudes. We don't know the people in this draft. So, who the people in next year's draft? We know.
Who's projected to get who's coming out next year?
Cooper Flagg.
Okay.
I know who he is. He's going to Duke.
Okay. All right. We'll see. I'm gonna make sure that this season I'm gonna keep a real close eye on the NCAA this year, man, and see like who's gonna be one of them ones. Man. You know what I'm saying? We gotta try not to be the old guys. We gotta do a little more research and dig deeper into the.
We gotta watch college. I'm not watching overtime elite games. What the fuck do you watch overtime elite games?
I don't know.
G League Ignite is done. Like, so what, we gonna watch some overtime elite games? Where half of the kids ain't even gonna make it to the draft.
Well, I'll just keep an eye on the NCAA then, and then, you know, let's see if we got some gems. Obviously, we know. Like, I'm pretty sure with this draft coming up that we don't know many of these players, if any at all, but. One or two of them will probably end up being some gems, and they'll probably end up being solid players in the NBA.
Hey, I'll tell you right now.
We'll see.
I've said this on I Ain't Gonna Hold You. I said here, my prediction that the Bulls is gonna have the number one pick in the NBA draft next year.
So it's over for the Bulls. So the Bulls pretty much they're you know leaning towards doing a buyout with Lonzo, trading LaVine, and probably not gonna move forward with DeRozan.
Break this shit up, Jack.
It's a blow up, huh?
Blow it up.
Damn.
Blow it up. Damn. Matter of fact, I'll even go one better for you. Yeah. But why you need to blow it up? The fans still going to go to the game. Because now they see that you building for something.
Okay.
If you go out and you trade Zach, you get rid of Lonzo, you've already traded Caruso, feel like you'd have got more, but hey, I ain't the GM. If you break up this team, if you get some pieces back and assign a trade for DeMar, hey, we still gonna come to the game because it's like, all right, man, we know y'all just breaking this team up to build something for the future.
They're not beating a dead horse anymore.
Yeah, you're not beating a dead horse. You're not stuck in the middle. And then if we go and get the number one pick in the draft next year, you get Cooper Flagg. I bet. Now, mind you, if this is true, we have a lot of white people on the team, Mike. If the Bulls trade up to get Matis, they got Josh Giddey, and they get the number one pick and they get Cooper Flagg, there's a lot of Caucasians on the Bulls, man.
Okay.
You know goddamn well that damn United Center is going to be packed. Oh, but that shit going to look like goddamn Caitlin Clark in Indiana, fam. Oh, white people. Oh, shit. You mean to tell me it's three?
Let's take
we
it
got
back
a
to
big
the,
white three?
Take it back to the –
big
the,
white
the,
three?
The pre – the post – the pre-Jordan days.
Hey, you mean to tell me it's a big white three?
Early
Matis, Cooper Flagg, and Josh Giddey. Oh, when the last time you saw a big white three? When the last time, Mike? Hey, who is the best big three of white players in NBA history? Who? Even Boston had Robert Parrish.
I was about to say, wait. So who it was? Larry Bird,
Kevin McHale, Robert Parrish. Robert,
okay.
He's clearly black. All right.
So I don't think we ever had a big.
There's three. Never been. A big white three. The Bulls, if they trade up and get Matis,
uh-huh.
They got Josh Giddey, and they get the number one pick and get Cooper Flagg. Oh, my God. Boy, big white three, Mike. Can't wait. Jersey sales is going to go up. It's going to be lit.
Let's go.
Hey, it's going to be lit, fam.
Let's get it.
It's going to be them and Pat Williams.
Oh, man. Nah, not... the other little white boy on the Bulls, man. What was his name? They was, he was coming off the bench. Hold on. Let me find his name. Hold on. I'm finna tell you right now. They was fucking with him, though. Ooh. Hold on. Hold on. I'm finna give you his name right now. Let me see. Let me look at the
fucking Piekowski?
Shit. God damn it. What was his name? Oh. Damn, I can't pronounce his name. This guy right here, though. Hold on. That's the guy.
Nocioni? Is that?
I don't know how you pronounce his name, but that's his name.
What the fuck?
Yeah, I don't know how to pronounce his name. But the Bulls was rocking with him, though. The man was out there getting buckets. In the lap.
What? Yeah, I don't know. Who the hell is that? Mike, who was that?
I don't know, bang, but he white. He's 25 years old. He was in the start lineup.
He was?
Yeah, bro. He had him in the start lineup the last couple games, bro.
Bruh, I don't even know who that boy. That shit sound like a fucked up name on the creative player.
I'm just saying, bro. That's him. They going to be riding with him.
Hey, man, before we get out of here, Mike, I've went down a rabbit hole. I've been watching Awakening on YouTube.
The Awakening? Yeah. Why?
I don't know. It's to maybe laugh at the bad acting.
Yeah.
But, hey, man, they put Marquita through hell on that show, fam. Man. If I was whoever Marquita Perry was on The Awakening, I would have had to put Clifford E. Turner on the pull him to the side and be like, yo, can we do something happy? Fam, like, my brother, I got pregnant. My brother got killed. Mm-hmm. I got shot. My mama got beat. My best friend had a fucked up abortion. My other best friend got raped by her uncle and became an alcoholic.
You can only watch this on YouTube? It's only on YouTube?
They got the DVDs, but somebody put this shit up on YouTube, and I've been watching that shit.
So it's not on any streaming services?
No, hell no, 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 no.
Nobody picked that show up, huh?
Mike, that's season one in the first couple of episodes of season two.
Yeah.
Literally. Marquita gets pregnant. Jay, like, I ain't the daddy. Marquita try to get, like, almost get touched on by her mama's boyfriend. Her mama beat her ass to kick her out. She ain't got no place to stay. She homeless. She meets Tamika, who mama also kicked out, but Tamika pregnant. Katrina is like, yo, y'all gonna hoe for me. Marquita turned out to be the worst hoe ever, while Tamika like, no, I'm gonna make this money while pregnant. Like, she was hoeing while showing. The dudes who shot Marquita is trying to kill her. The same dude who killed her brother, her baby daddy, and the nigga who her mama was fucking on, all died by this one dude. And he like, hey, Marquita still alive? Hey, I kill a bitch. He gets killed by the police. Then the next season, old girl died on the abortion table at some dude crib by herself. Her friend gets molested.
This is all in the first season.
Yeah, first and the second part of the second season. Like, I ain't even past season two. And her friend get raped by her uncle, and she turned into an alcoholic.
Yeah.
Like, anything that Marquita touch just turned up, messed up.
Good luck.
I'm watching this show. Like, they really thought we was going to turn to God by looking at this show? Like, I'm stressed.
Yeah.
I'm stressed looking at this. Like,
Good luck watching that shit, man.
Like, everybody was yelling. I don't get, like, here's one thing I don't get about The Awakening. Why everybody was yelling? Every time you turn it on the episode, somebody yelling. My queen, you gotta get the fuck out of my house. Get out of my house. Mama, mama, you gotta get out of my house. You trying about to put a hole in it like that. Mama. Like, then a brother, I don't want you to sell drugs no more. Mark Weed, I'm not saying, I seen you with cocaine on the table. Then she get, like, everybody was mad on The Awakening.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna watch the rest of season two just to see why I was looking at this shit when I was younger.
Good luck, man.
I know what the pastor was trying to do. And maybe from 1992 to what 1997, that's what they thought it was supposed to be. But man, I ain't never been stressed. I'm most stressed out by watching The Awakening than watching any episode of House of Dragon.
Okay.
I'm more stressed out.
That's on right now, right?
That's going on right now.
Okay.
Like, I'm binge watching this shit like it's Succession. And stressed out. Cause as soon as you get it, as soon as you see an adult, they cussing out a teenager. For being a teenager. But these teenagers, like, Tamika was pregnant as hell, fam. And Poochie was trying to nail her at the laundromat. Like, hey, just come to the party. I don't know about, just come to the party. You know I want to be with you. Nigga, she's showing like I'm showing right now. And you on this motherfucker, you at the laundromat talking about something, trying to be with you, baby. Boy, I was like, oh, y'all wild. Then she go to the party, she drinking, she get to dancing, she start bleeding. She go in the bathroom, she, bruh. What?
Mm-mm. Nah.
But hey, if you want some nostalgia, it's a good shit to be with.
Yeah, I might pass on that, but you know.
Come on, you gotta, Mike, you gotta, we gotta do an awakening. We gotta do an awakening show.
No thanks. Maybe.
Mike, one of these episodes, we have to do an awakening rewatch show.
All right, bro.
We go on YouTube and we watch an episode of The Awakening.
Okay.
And we realize this shit was wild. We was watching.
All right, I might go down the rabbit hole with you.
We're gonna watch it. We're gonna watch it on the show.
You wanna watch it live on?
We're gonna watch The Awakening live.
Okay.
On Some Dude Pod.
Okay.
We're gonna set it for sometime in July. All
right.
We have the date for y'all, but we're gonna watch an episode live of Awakening on here. So we will. Yeah.
All right, bet. We'll keep y'all in tune. We'll let y'all
know. Y'all in tune. All right, man. Look, hey, thank y'all for joining us. Very important. Again, Mental Health Matters. Y'all go ahead and check on y'allself and check on your peoples. Mike, end us off.
Some Dude Pod, man. Rate, like, subscribe. You can find us on the Barbershed Network, where all your favorite podcasts are available at. Make sure you check them out there. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, etc. etc. Alright, Some Dude Pod on IG, Facebook group, hashtag Some Dude Pod at Mike B _ CHR at JR Bang. And we gone.
All the days I'm here in my heart. Hey, Awakening be coming on like this.
Yo, 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 it's your girl, Nate Kale, and this is Some Dude Podcast. We out. Peace.